Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I have a word for you on the favor and faith. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. That's not every day you have an angel show up and say something like that to you. And probably her hair was standing up. What is this? And the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. God had a plan for Mary's life. And we know from Scripture, Jeremiah 29, I think it's verse 10 or 11, he has a plan for your life. Before you're born, he has something in mind for your life, his purpose, his will for your life. There's inherent in us a sense of that. And people go through life, and many people, even when they're not saved, or maybe they're a baby Christian, and they're wondering, Lord, what's my purpose in life? Why am I on this earth? What is it you'd have for me to do? What am I to become? What am I to do with my life? And that's a thought that everyone thinks at some point along the way. We really should never stop thinking that. But having expectation for the Spirit of God to reveal to us his plan. Now, the reality is, not everyone knows the plan of God for their life. And some might begin to know what it is and never really see it happen. And that's not God's intention or desire. There is a plan for you. There is a purpose for your life. But it needs to be revealed by the Spirit of God. It's not for us to fabricate in our own mind. That's what I call building our own dreams. And God put in my heart in 1986 to warn people against that. Don't try to build your own dream. You're out of your own imagination, what you want for your life. But to seek him for what his plan is, his desire. And it may be very, very different than what you would think. I would never have dreamed I would be doing what I've done over these years. Apart from the Spirit of God, I never would have even considered it. My intention was to move to a wilderness and be self-sufficient and get away from people. And he calls me to minister to people. And God will do things that would be very surprising. I grew up in a way where the cloud over our head was, there's going to be a nuclear war with Russia or the Soviet Union. Now people grow up fearing terrorism, and maybe that was a thing of the 20-aughts. I mean, now it's even other things out there. And I end up in Russia preaching the word, teaching the word of God. And the other former Soviet countries. And while every time I'd be there, I think this is surreal. I grew up imagining we're going to be fighting these people. And here I am taking the gospel to them. And seeing the Spirit of God minister to them. You can begin to think some people are your enemy. People aren't your enemy. Sin and devils are your enemy. Pride's your enemy. Pride will cut you off from the grace of God in your life. That's clearly stated in James chapter 5, verse 5, and 1 Peter 5 as well. There's a plan. There's a purpose. It won't be like you think. In fact, the things God does never works the way people think. The way the people that thought the coming of the Lord would be is he'd come as some great king, not out of some place called Galilee, where they viewed as the worst of the sinners of Israel. That's how they viewed it. The Messiah can't come from there. This Jesus of Nazareth, who has calluses on his hands, and not that, according to Isaiah chapter 53, not that good to look at. That's what the scripture says about him. It's prophesied. There'd be nothing of his outer man that would attract people. But the Holy Ghost within him and the love of God within him drew people. Isaiah, I think it's chapter 31, verse 3, says, by that my loving kindness I've drawn you to me. We're drawn to him because of the loving kindness of God. It says in Romans 2, 4, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Without repentance, there's no salvation. And seeing the goodness of God, what draws you to him, to actually bring you to the place to repent and turn from looking to the flesh in this world to look to the Spirit of God, to look to Christ as your source of life. Well, he has a plan for you. But it comes because of the favor of God. And I want to expound on this for a moment, because twice he said to Mary, you've found favor with God. The plan that God had for Mary, she would conceive the Christ by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God being the seed planted in her womb. That was the plan of God. And I believe the reason many people never really see the plan of God for their life, and then maybe they enter into building their own dreams, their own imaginations, or maybe they just don't have any dream or any vision. If you don't have vision, you will serve the flesh. Because the only thing left, if you don't have purpose driving you forward into your future, you live to please yourself in the present. You are in one of those two places. Either looking to please yourself in the now or living for eternity and for him, because he put something in your heart relative to the future. Our destiny is heaven. Our destiny is eternity, worshiping and praising God, walking with him, standing with him. That's your destiny. And God wants you to do so with a testimony and a crown of glory upon your head, bringing glory to God. But it's the favor of God. She had favor. Favor is defined some different ways. Unmerited favor is one. The word grace and favor here in the Greek is the same word, actually. And grace is one of those words that encompasses a lot, just like the word love encompasses a lot of things. But part of it is the favor of God, or in other words, he sees something in you that's pulling him towards you. When you have favor towards someone, or someone has favor in your eyes, you're drawn to them to want to bless them. My granddaughters have favor in my eyes. I always want to bless them. That doesn't mean you're always going to do what they want. That doesn't mean you do things just to make them happy. Sometimes what the blessing would be correction. And you have to have enough love for them rather than just your own loving the relationship, them loving you back, where you're going to give them what they need. You speak the truth to them. Favor, you're for someone and you're drawn to them to bless them. It's a blessed thing to receive vision from God. It gives purpose to your life. Many people just sort of aimlessly go about without purpose. And again, you will live for pleasure. Oh, it may not be alcohol and drugs or sex. It could just be the comforts of this life. But you will live for pleasure if you don't live for the purpose of God. And the favor of God brings that to our life. I like to go to show you what I'm saying here. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3. And these are a few verses that people like to quote or have on their refrigerator or someplace in our house. I'll start at verse 1. My son, this is David speaking to Solomon, Solomon quoting his father David. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. You don't add long life by your own ability. But if we'll walk in the will of God, keeping the commandment of the Lord, which his plan for your life is a commandment to you as well, as it becomes known. As you're walking with him, he will sustain you. That could be protection from violence. It could be angelic protection. It could have pertaining to health. It could be a lot of things. Life and peace will be added. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So here's the answer to this question. What brings the favor of God, or where God can begin moving in your life to bring this kind of blessing to you, that you have purpose for your life? It's binding mercy and truth to your neck. Every now and then, my wife has a habit of laying her phone down and say, where's my phone? I can't find it. And I'll say to her, oh, that's one of my sayings. It's got to be here somewhere. But the other one is, I need to get a chain. Put that thing around your neck so you're not losing it. Now, she ends up finding it. But every now and then, she'll say, call my phone so I can hear it ringing where it's at in the house here. Because she's always busy working, doing things. And, yeah, if I have a phone with me, I put it in my pocket. But she'll have articles of clothing don't have a pocket. That's so they can sell women purses, I guess. No. But anyway, but we need to be like, it's hanging around us. It's right there all the time, binding it around your neck. You don't lose sight of it. If it's around your neck, you're not going to lose sight of it. You pick something up, you put it down. You lose sight of it. Mercy and truth need to be where we never lose sight of mercy and truth in our life. It's what we live by. It's part of the integrity of our life. The word integrity is the principles that govern your life. You live by this. And there's no compromising or deviating for you. It's a principle you live your life by. Mercy and truth. Not opinion, not feelings, not emotion. The word mercy here is chesed, which is covenant love. It's not talking about the emotion of a mercy. It's talking about a love based on a covenant relationship. Well, there is a commitment in that love. You are committed to the love life. That needs to be ever present. So as we embrace the covenant love or mercy and truth, we are positioned for the favor of God. Now, God's favor to save you is the same towards all of us. It's not his will that any should perish. He wants all to be saved. He extends that grace. It was the grace of God brought Jesus Christ. It says in John 1, I think it's verse 17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, not by the law of Moses. The life of God came by Jesus. You're highly favored. When Jesus was born, peace, goodwill toward men. The favor of God's come to the earth. It brought life. The favor of God brings the life of purpose and vision to your life. Mary was walking upright before the Lord. She was walking in mercy and truth. It says of Zacharias and Elizabeth that they were upright. They walked in righteousness. And they were up in age, beyond childbearing, and she was barren, which was viewed as a curse. And the angel came to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a prophet to prepare the way for the Lord. I'm just paraphrasing this now. Zacharias didn't believe. So how am I going to know this is going to happen? I'm an old man. Unbelief was in his heart. And it says, because of unbelief, the angel struck him dumb. That means he couldn't speak. Doesn't mean stupid. It means he couldn't talk. His tongue was bound. And he was doing his priestly ministry. He was in the temple. And it says of them that they were upright. They served the Lord. They walked in the ways of God and righteousness. And God's plan is about to be released, but his unbelief was a hindrance for him. Well, he comes out, he can't talk. They're marveling at this. He's like making, it says he's making gestures or beckoning. Like, I'm seeing an angel, yeah. And they knew, oh, something's up here, Zacharias. Well, Elizabeth conceives John the Baptist. Their hearts were right before God where the plan could come. You can receive a plan of God, but allow unbelief in your heart. That's a hindrance. The angel said to Zacharias, you're going to call his name John. He said, well, nobody in our family is called John. That's what his name's going to be, buddy. God calls things the way he wants them to be, not the way you want them to be. So the favor of God brings that life, brings that purpose. Mary received that word from the Lord, and it was a plan for her life. Conceived in her womb. And as Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost in her womb, the Son of God, we conceive in the womb of our spirit visionary things. It'll first come to you in a word. And that word or vision from God will shock you because it's beyond your ability. Lester Sumrall said once, and I never forgot this, that if your vision doesn't shock your flesh, you're backslidden. Now, he had a way of speaking where he was just hammered right to the point. He was kind of rough, very direct. Powerful man of God, though. Spoke truth. The vision of God will shock your flesh because in your ability, you can't make it happen. And that forces you to depend upon him. You need him. It forces you into the place of faith. And so often we can have something from God. You might have some vision that came, but we put our hand to it, our ability, and we hinder it from happening because we're doing it in our own ability. And to whatever degree you operate in your own ability, you'll take the glory. May not be sooner, but it will be eventually later. But when we realize, Lord, this is impossible, we have a choice then to make. Am I going to trust the Lord? Am I going to speak faith to it? Am I going to allow it to conceive on the inside of me? Because before any great things are done outwardly, something's done on the inside. If an architect designs a building, he has to imagine it all. Before you start, they imagine the whole thing beginning to end. Well, God's the great architect. He has that plan. He can see it all from beginning to end. And he begins to reveal and unfold these things to us. We hear Proverbs 3 says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. As we, you see, people, they many times realize, I need purpose and I need a vision from God. Why isn't it coming? He says, it's the favor of God that brings it. And you'll find favor as you just embrace mercy or covenant and love and truth. So the thing is, we learn just to walk before the Lord. Before we're going to receive a visionary thing with purpose. Because see, what will happen is you'll find identity in your purpose if you get purpose ahead of identity with Christ. And when we're fully identified with Christ, to do so is to embrace the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. to embrace all truth, to live by the word, to dwell there. And embrace walking in love. In other words, if you live the love life and according to truth in your daily life, everyone you're around, as much as within you, when you realize you've come up short, which everyone will, you repent and get cleansed and purpose to pursue it again. Keep pursuing it. So as we set ourselves to Him, which if you, you know, to take this out of just a general thought, well, just love the Lord. Well, specifically, what's that look like? Embracing and living truth in a covenant love. As we begin to walk in that way, God will begin to reveal. It doesn't matter if you were saved 3 days ago and you're doing that, or 35 years ago, or 60 years ago. It doesn't make any difference. When we come into that place where we're fully identified with Christ, His crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and we embrace Him as truth, the Word of God is truth, and we're always going to conform to the truth, thus letting the Spirit of God transform us. That's when the favor brings the purpose of God and good understanding. We can see it. We can understand it. What He'd have for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. See, what happens then as the favor of God brings purpose, now you're thrust into the second part of all of this. Faith. Trusting Him. Depending upon Him. What is it to trust? To depend upon. To depend upon the Lord. That will create a prayer life. If we're truly dependent, we will pray. If you're depending on yourself, what do you need to pray to Him for? Unconsciously, that works in man. But as I'm dependent on the Lord, you're going to pray. And if we're living by truth, we're going to speak truth. Trust Him with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. There is a path or a journey. Your life is a journey. The word path in the English, there's two different in the Hebrew. One of them is Derek, but it's a journey you're on. He has a journey. The plan's a journey. It's not just like a road you turned off on. It's a journey. And within the journey, there are various pathways or roadways. There's various paths you'll be on the journey. The journey is the beginning to the end. There are different paths along the way. In your ways, acknowledge Him all your ways. Not just some of your ways. Not just acknowledging Him where it's easier for you. Yeah, that's what people do a lot of times. They can be generous or merciful, but they can't forgive somebody who's wronged them. Maybe that's a little harder for them. Somebody else has a problem with forgiveness. They're stingy. Always. As a father or mother, acknowledge the Lord. How would He have you be a father or mother? Whatever you're doing in service to the Lord, a husband or wife, don't just do like mom and dad did. You need to judge it by the truth. Maybe some of what they did wasn't right. But people will tend to follow the pattern that their parents operated in until truth comes, till light comes and shines on it. You see, that was good, but this here wasn't. This wasn't of the truth. And we allow the Holy Spirit to keep changing us and directing us. We need Him to direct our path. We're not smart enough to do all that ourselves. If you think you are, you're deceived. Be not wise in your own eyes. That's not just a random thought here. We need Him to direct our path. If we're wise in our own eyes, we won't walk that path. We won't see that purpose. So we see here the favor of God as we're just embracing mercy and truth. Favor brings purpose for our life, brings a visionary word. We need to pray over that word and meditate upon it till it's conceived in our spirit. And God begins to direct our steps, and it's step by step by step by step by step. You walk step by step by step by step. So every day we need him guiding us. Sometimes there's some big steps, and many times it's a lot of little steps. But you keep stepping forward in the Lord and in his plan by faith. Now let's go back to Luke 1. Mary as our example here. Mary says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" When God begins to bring vision, it will always bring that question, "How shall this be? How can this happen?" Many times people allow unbelief to come in and lose the ability to dream in God. I still remember when I had bought a Bible from Kenneth Copeland's ministry. He had sermon notes in the beginning. I used to study over those. But there was a line in there. I mean, I came to realize you can't preach another man's notes. That's to be your revelation. But I just was curious, you know, just to see, to learn about, as I listened to him, that I could see, oh, here, how he's breaking this down in different points. But he said, never discourage someone for their dream. Don't bring unbelief. Don't be a wet blanket on their fire. Now, some people have the wrong dreams, and you have to die to that. I had the wrong dream as a youth. I dreamed of being an athlete. I was a late grower. Wasn't big enough, strong enough, fast enough in a big school that I was in to make a sports team. I crushed something on the inside of me. I had the wrong dream. It almost killed me because I ended up in drugs, everything else. Looking for life. Where is our life? Find life wasn't in the world. Was it in sex, drugs, alcohol? Was it in anything like that? Wasn't it even in the church that I grew up in? It's in Jesus Christ and him alone. Yes. He transformed my life. We all have to be broken. Many people, they have their own dream and they want to push and try and make it happen. It wasn't the dream of God. And we have to be broken of such things. The dream of God will require faith. It will require the power of God. How shall this be? The angel would answer and said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God." How shall this be? The answer is the same for you as it was her. The Holy Ghost. It could be the wisdom of God. It could be the power of God. It could be strength in your spirit. It could be an anointing on your life. It could be a creative thought or idea. But it's got to come by the Holy Ghost. And he bring it to pass, because the vision of God will be beyond your ability. Yes. Absolutely. That he's going to bring a witness to her. He says, "Your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son in her old age. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Verse 37. What God purposes, he can make the way. But we need to acknowledge him in all our ways so he can direct us in the way, direct us in the path, in the walk we should walk. And he can bring it to pass. With God, nothing's impossible. Many times the things we would dream, it's not possible for man. We say, "Well, I don't know, how can this be?" God will bring it to pass. I still remember the first time I taught. We had started the church, going to a home meeting. Don and I were driving over. It was at Etta Henry's house. And I'm going to teach the first time. She said, how are you going to do that? You never done this before. How are you going to do it? It's by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you didn't know me back then, I was the shyest person you'd ever want to meet. In bondage to fear of speaking. And the cry of my heart, Lord, set me free from this. I've got something I have to share. This was a couple years before. And he set me free and he healed my brain from the damaged drugs I'd done. He healed my brain. I could think and speak. How are you going to do it? It seemed like a big step at the time, but really just a little step. That next step will always seem like a big step. When he's asking you to venture out into something maybe you've not done before, it's going to seem like a big step. How shall it be? Well, the main issue is just the will of God or not. Whatever is his will, you can believe God for whatever it takes to do it. As I've gone on in years, I'm imagining bigger, greater things. In the plan of God, I see us financing the gospel to every nation, supporting missionary work for the last great end time harvest. That's what I see. It's with me all the time. When my day goes by, I don't think about it. Do we have the money to do that? No. Do we have the personnel to do it? No. But you work with what you have. And as we continue and embrace truth and covenant love, the favor of God's bringing this. It's not for us. It's for him, for his glory. It's out of the love of God for people to benefit people. That visionary thing's not to benefit you so much as benefit other people. Things just benefit you. That's your own dream. The vision of God's always about people. Somehow imparting life to them, building the church. Well, with God, nothing is impossible. And out of Mary's spirit she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Excuse me, it's a different reaction than what Zacharias had. Zacharias had unbelief. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. According to your word. Mary ends up going and visiting with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, as you read on in the chapter, when Mary comes, she's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And he leapt in her womb because the Messiah was in his presence. Mary was pregnant with the Messiah. His calling was to prepare the way for the Messiah. There was a consciousness and an unborn child of the Spirit of God in his presence. You know, if someone's pregnant, you want to minister life to that child in the womb. We would always be praying over our children in the womb and playing worship music, having love being the present dominant thing. An unborn child knows that. They're not a little glob. They don't become a child after they're born. They're a child with a plan from God at conception. And it was a witness. And then Elizabeth has the Holy Ghost come upon her. The child leapt in my womb. You have the Messiah. She begins to prophesy to Mary. And that brings confirmation. God brought Mary a lot of confirmation. When those shepherds came in, confirmation as they spoke of the angels singing glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill, peace on earth. As the wise men, the magi came and offered gifts, it was confirmation. As Joseph had his visions and was warned, it was confirmation. Confirmation upon confirmation. When God gives you a visionary dream, he'll confirm it. And God knows we need confirmation. Because the temptation to let doubt come in will come. And he'll bring confirmation to us supernaturally by the Spirit of God. It's not for us to ask for a sign. It's just, he'll do that. Look for confirmation, people in your life. Confirmation through the word being preached. Confirmation by the Spirit. Confirmation when you pray. The prophetic very much deals with confirmation. And she's prophesying. Verse 42, she lifted her voice, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. What's this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, I tell you, Elizabeth, for you to be a witness and a confirmation of her. For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed be she that believed. Elizabeth speaking prophetically. Mary believed God. She believed the word of the angel. How shall this be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. How shall this be, Lord? There shall be a performance of that which the Lord told her. You see, Mary's life, living before the Lord, allowed the favor to work for God to move toward her. He showed her his plan and purpose for her life. She believed God. Now there's supernatural confirmation over and over. In verse 46 says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul is magnified. The Lord is great. It's a great thing that he's going to do. My soul is magnified the Lord. You know, if the Lord's magnified in our eyes, we're going to have reverence and respect for him. If you view someone as a great person in your life in the natural, you would have respect and treat them respectfully. And in treating the Lord with respect, that's going to position us that our eyes stay on him. Mercy and truth bound about our neck. Our eyes upon him. I magnify the Lord. I lift him up. I exalt him. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. What do you believe in God for? Do you have vision from him? God wants you to. As we just live for him. Just live for him, not just live to get a vision. Live for him. Not say a prayer, oh God, do something. I live for him. He'll begin to reveal those things. Mix faith and commit your way. I love Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Where it speaks there that God will give us the desires of our heart. As we're loving him, as we're abiding him, he'll put his desire in you. It doesn't mean he's Santa Claus. You know, kids with Santa Claus and Christmas, they'll make out their list. Here's what all I want. God's not Santa Claus. But he'll bring to us, he'll impart within us the plan, the purpose. And as for us to commit our way, it says, trust also in him. He'll put the desire in your heart. Trust also in him. Commit your way, and he'll bring it to pass. The visionary things of God, it's up to him to bring the pass. Now, you have your part to do in obedience. But it's fun just to watch God work. Yes. Learn to enjoy that. We so much fall prey to the carnal man where we want to have assurance of everything and have money that I don't have to believe God anymore. To have whatever I need that I don't have to just rely upon him and trust him. Trust him and commit everything to that. If we value the purpose of God, if we begin to hear that and value it truly for what it is, that will automatically causing you a desire to commit it all. Your whole life's committed to that. Sometimes people want to hang on to things of this world and their own life and have God's plan at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Faith and committing all to it. Mary, my soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. So when we, by faith, believe he's going to do it, we're just rejoicing. It's a joyful life. Oh, do you have this yet? No, but I will. By faith, the Holy Ghost shall bring it to pass. With God, nothing's impossible, which shall come to pass. I believe that, therefore, I will continue to hold fast my confession of faith. I'll continue to trust him. I'll continue to follow him. I'll continue in my commitment to him. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. Let's stand and magnify the Lord together and rejoice in God, our Savior. He saved you from sin. Sin has no power over you. Rejoice in that. You have a Savior. Satan's power is broken. He can't stop the work of God in your life. Only you can stop it. Unbelief will stop it. Rejoice in God, your Savior. Thank him for what he has given to you. You might say, well, I don't know that visionary thing yet. Thank him for what he has given you. And begin to set yourself in covenant love and truth. And watch the grace of God, the favor of God, begin to minister to your spirit. That you would burst something in him where it's bringing change to people's lives. Where the love of God's flowing out of you to transform lives, to build the church of Jesus Christ. Let's praise him now. Hallelujah.